Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel sponge fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and capmel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose as your topic fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
Wake up, Tampa Bay. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Show on Sports Talk, 1040 The Team. Myself, Captain Rick Law. Myself, Captain. I am so messed up, man.
I'm going to tell you, Travis is all messed up tonight.
Oh, listen, guys, we are in the studio, and we're talking some fishing. I'm pretty sunburnt.
Travis is flustered.
It is, today is December 28th, and we have been fishing a lot. It's been hot. Fishing's been good.
It's been hot.
But you guys are listening to the guys, and we're going to tell you a little bit about what's going on, how the year's been for us. I'll kind of recap a little bit on this year, try to fix our opening of the show there. But we're going to recoup and get this going. So let's start off, Captain Rick. Tell us a little bit. I know both you and I fished today, and so let's kind of talk a little bit about what we've been doing and what we've been catching here.
Well, it's still a snooky time of year for me right now. The weather's warm. You know, fisher, the snook bite is pretty good. Bait's easy. It's moved off the – I did see some bait in the shallow water today, but I've gone off my bait catching in the shallows and gone and started catching bait at the markers.
Yeah.
And did not really fish much for snook today because I had one of my meat hunters on the boat. And
guys got some trout today.
We
had
some nice trout today. We got some nice trout today. It's nice when your average trout is 19 and a quarter. So
that's nice trout. And you know, you and I talked on the phone today, and we were fishing snook, and we had a great snook bite going. And I told you, I said, well, we hadn't really seen any trout, and we were kind of hoping that this next cold front, which is, if you're listening to the show on the radio, you guys are going through it right now or just getting over it. But here it's Wednesday, and so we've got a cold front coming in on Friday. But
which should actually help,
which should help our trout fishing. But where I was going with it is today, after I talked to you, we slammed the trout.
Did you?
Yeah, and we caught one trout. It was about 20 inches, and you know the guys had some good regular clients on the boat. And I asked them, I said, hey, do you guys want to keep, you know, trout? You want something to take home? And they're like, you know, man, with what you've told us about the trout fishing this year, they said, you know, we're going to go ahead and let it go.
Yeah.
And so I said, all right. So we ended up, you know, taking care of the fish, and we let the fish go. And the next spot we went to, we destroyed the trout.
Did you really?
It was trout after trout. We probably caught, I shouldn't say destroyed, but we probably caught 10, 15 trout in about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Now that was you had a better bite than I did.
Compared to what it has been, we busted them up pretty good, but they were all, I'd say 16 to 18, 19 inches, so it's good to see that.
Yeah, we didn't catch 15 trout today, but we caught, and we could have caught more if we'd have stayed, but the I had a guy that fishes with me with his grandson, and the trout bite was decent. and it was a great bite for size of fish. The smallest trout we had was almost 19. Everything else, we kept six. Everything else was between 19 and 20, and we had one over 20. So took home six, but it was, you know, it was a trout every 5 minutes kind of
yeah.
thing.
And that's how, you know, I was telling the guys that the guys I had on the boat today have fished tarpon with me. They fished snook. They fished redfish. Really good clients of mine. They travel down. They fish 5 or 6 times a year with me. And the one thing that we haven't gotten to do, just because of timing, is we really haven't done a lot of trout fishing
right.
with them. We've caught them here and there, you know, yeah. amongst snook and redfish. And I was telling them, I was like, you know, normally trout fishing is a very fast-paced,
sure.
you know, fishing when you get on the bite.
Right.
And it's nice that you had the same, quote-unquote, the same thing I had going
right.
on. So it tells me, in the area that I found these trout in, I was actually looking for some big snook.
Okay.
So we were fishing in some deeper areas.
I can tell you right now we weren't in the same spot.
No, we weren't in the same spot. And based on our conversation, I know we weren't. But it was an area that leads to a place where the trout should be.
Right.
And it's a place we've all been talking, hey, man, we're not seeing these trout. And so I just said, you know, I'm going to try over here. And we were heading out of an area. And I said, let's just try this. I started throwing some chum out. And a couple snook were popping up next to the bushes. But I told the one guy, I said, man, just pitch it out there in the middle. And I said, just let it come through with this tide and see what happens.
Right.
Put a split shot on, and almost instantly, bam, he hooks fish. He was like, oh, that's a nice trout. You know, it was like a 16-inch trout. Well, literally over and over and over, we kept throwing out in the middle of this channel and letting it drift back down
right.
towards a corner, and they were just stacked in there, man. We, like I said, we finished up the trip there. We probably spent, I'd say, a half hour, maybe total, 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And literally, we're like, hey, man, let's just get out of here. They didn't want to keep them.
Right.
We de-hooked every fish.
That's awesome.
You know, took great care
that's
of the
awesome.
Fish. And so, but it was a really good time, and it was, it put some backing to what I was telling about trout fishing. And it was good to be able to see those fish, because I personally haven't seen a trout bite that good for me all year.
Yeah, trout have definitely been, well, these trout we caught today were fatties.
Yeah.
I mean, they were fatties. So
same here. I mean, these were very healthy fish.
All six of the ones we kept were just chunkers. So, and we were catching them on white bait, and I was kind of doing the same thing you. I was throwing the lines out. We had the perfect setup as far as tide and wind. They were working together.
Right.
You could throw out here and get a good 40-foot drift on it before you needed a reel in throw again. And you would just kind of drift through that magic spot there, and there was about a 10 or 12 foot area out there that is where
they were
hitting.
Just hunkered
but
down.
You couldn't throw to it because as soon as you throw to it, it's out of it quick.
Right.
So we were just throwing and letting them drift. And I caught bait at the marker today, and it was a little bit smaller than
mm-hmm.
what we normally use, but it was perfect for the trout. And we were fishing under a float, so it was a good bite. And then we did go a little. To try to do some snook fishing after that. And, man, every time I would turn a corner to get to a spot that I've been fishing, there sits
another boat.
Yeah. So I never did get a fish in any of my snook spots that I've been fishing here pretty regular. Never did get to drop a line in any of those spots today. But we still may do. We caught some big jacks and the trout and a few snook. But, fishing's good. Fishing's good. I think it's going to get better if we get this little cold front coming through.
I agree.
Especially with the trout. The snook are still don't know where they want to be. It's going to push them to their normal wintertime hangouts. Should fire off the sheephead if you want to grab a bucket of shrimp and go sheephead fishing.
Mm-hmm. I'm a fiddler man myself.
You're a fiddler.
I'm a fiddler.
You're a fiddler.
Man.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with being a fiddler. I got nothing bad there.
Got nothing to say about that.
I got nothing to say. But no, I'm a take a shrimp and cut him in thirds and catch me a sheephead.
Are you the guy that this is something that you hear people talk about? Oh, I'm going to put an old shrimp on the deck and let him turn pink and
no, I ain't that guy. No,
yeah.
No, I'm going to take a nice healthy shrimp
and just go with it.
That when I pick him up, he tries to kill me. And I'm gonna pinch him in thirds and put that on and drop it to the bottom.
Rock and roll. I've actually taken a liking sometimes in the winter in the summer for mangrove snapper. I'll actually freeze shrimp, and that way they're a little bit hard. You know, when you put them on
right.
the hook and they can't quite peck it off as much, and it seems to be a good way to, you know, keep a bait on the hook, especially a shrimp.
When I would certainly rather use a frozen one than a one that's what you're talking about. That's turned orange on the deck. Every time I pinch one off and hook it, I got to wash my hands.
Yeah, 10 times. 10 times.
And I'm not a germ freak or nothing, but I don't want to be handling no more stinky shrimp.
I tell you what, white bait's almost as bad. I went out this morning and caught bait and have my sweatshirt on because it was a little chilly this morning.
Right.
But when I got back to the dock, you know, I keep my boat in the marina, so I have my truck there. So I got out and I was getting some stuff out of the truck and I tossed my sweatshirt in the truck. Let me tell you what, buddy.
Yeah, hot sun.
Let me tell you what, buddy. When I got back in the truck, that was something rank.
Yeah.
There's something about them greenbacks, that white bait.
You notice all the cats hanging around your truck?
I just thought they liked me.
It ain't that.
Oh, but no, guys, fishing has been pretty good the last few days. I've been fishing a lot. Jason's actually out. He was fishing a late trip today, so Rick and I are in the studio covering for him. And this normally happens this time of year. We get a lot of travelers coming through the holidays.
Yeah.
The water has been pretty busy. Been a lot of traffic out
there. A lot of boats on the water today.
But the fishing's been good. You just got to find a place to get in and take your time. We got blown up 2 or 3 times today with just guys watching and trying to figure out what was going on and drifting in front of our chum and all that kind of good stuff. But all in all, everything's good when the fishing's good.
Well, you know what? Today, remember how I wasn't here last week, but the week before we talked about, you know, fishermen working together.
Right.
And reeling your lines in when there's a boat coming by. If he's pinched in a spot and he can't go around. So Saturday, I got the situation where these people are shore fishing, and they got like 6 lines out. And I pull up there and I go, hey, guys, y'all mind? And there's only 3 of them.
Right.
I said, y'all mind reeling them lines up? I said, I got to get by. And he goes, this is the only way by? I said, yes, sir, this is the only way by.
Right now.
And I said, I can't get to where I'm going without coming through here. So they kind of, you know, and reeled their lines in. And I thanked them and went on around. And so I going to that spot today. And if I'd have known there was a boat sitting in it, I wouldn't have went there. But I couldn't see from this spot. I pull up there, and here's these guys. It wasn't the same guys, but same spot, lines in the water. And I said, hey, do you guys mind reeling up so I can get by? And the one dude says, well, where are you going?
And by
I,
you.
I said, I need to go by you. And I tell you, this diffused, and I don't think these guys would have ever fussed or anything, but this totally diffused it. I said, how about I give y'all a net full of white bait?
Oh, game over. You were the man, right?
I was the man.
That's what I'm talking about.
They reeled in. I pulled up there and gave them about 30 white baits. They threw it in their little wading bucket, and I went on, and they was thanking me, and, hey, man, good luck to you. Have fun. God bless you. Happy New Year. Hope you have a great St. Valentine's Day. Easter's going to be good, man. They was all about it. I said,
that's all it takes, man. A little bit of courtesy, a little bit of being nice out there, and you can have some good trips.
Yes, yes.
Well, we're going to be talking some more fishing on this show. We're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to recap kind of 2016 and talk a little bit about what's happened this year. And this is our last show of the year, so we're happy about that. And we're going to bring you a little bit more. We're going to take a little break, hear a few words from our sponsors.
Coming back with tides and weather.
And we're coming back with the tides and weather. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on Sports Talk, 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
Marketers have a big task ahead of them. With so many advertisements during the consumer's daily routine, how do you stand out? United Cities Productions has a strategy that will increase your SEO, increase your Google ranking, and build your brand where it will stand out. Go to UnitedCitiesProductions.com and check out what many innovative companies are implementing. It's time to use all the resources of content production and marketing for winning. Beat your competitors. Contact a business strategist today at UnitedCitiesProductions.com.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you would like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Tree.
Tree here. Just calling to say thanks for letting me crash at your place the other night. Well, on your place. It was a rough night. I had a bit too much wind, and I think I might have broke your chimney, actually. So, yeah. Any chance you'd want to drop off my tire swing? Yeah. I mean, if not, that's cool. Okay, later.
Trees won't pay for tree damage. Luckily, one call to the Geico Insurance Agency makes it easy to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
The tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And welcome back, Tampa Fish and Outfitters Radio Show. You're listening to your host, Captain Travis Yackel, and my good buddy, Big Rick, Captain Lyle.
Hey, hey.
And this is Tides and Weather. Rick has got the Tides and Weather. We're on it.
I got the Tides and Weather. This is for Sunday, which is when you're listening to this. But the high today is 83, and the low is 66. And as far as temperature goes, and the low tide is at 11:27, and it's going to be a negative 0.13. And this is at the mouth of Little Manatee River.
Shell Point
is where this tide is at. And the high is at 6:20 this evening, and it's a 1.21. So that's your Tides and Weather.
That's good. And, you know, it kind of seems like an echo, but we constantly talk about these low tides and the negative tides. And let me tell you what, man, the last few days, it has been really low.
Low.
It has been really low. And, you know, not having the skiff ready to go is killing me.
Yeah, but
But the fishing, you know, what I've found is on that low, low water, when that water's not moving, especially when it's feels like it's 2,050 degrees outside, that real, real shallow water hadn't really been that productive for me.
No.
Once that water is moving,
right,
it's moving across these shallow areas, I've found that these fish are a little more cooperative with feeding, and that's what happened to us today. We got on one spot, and we sat there for about probably 15 or 20 minutes, and I told the guys, I said, listen, I said, it's going to be a little slow to start off with. I said, but once this tide starts moving a little bit, these fish are going to come alive. And sure enough, man, it was like on a dime. I mean, once we started seeing grass move just a little bit,
right,
the fish totally took off.
Well, my bite didn't. Man, why are we getting a reverb here? My bite didn't come early this morning. My bite came about mid morning, and went to about noon,
mm-hmm,
and then it shut down after that for me. I didn't do a whole lot after that. But as far as the low tide fishing, I tell you what I like, and I think I'm pretty much in a group with all fishermen. I have talked to people that did not like low water fishing.
Right.
But the way I look at it is when you're fishing really low water, those fish are concentrated. If you can find them, they're concentrated. There's more of them there.
Right.
As opposed to when the water comes up and they start shooting up in under the mangroves. And now to me, that's a harder bite unless you're, one, on a pattern on some nice redfish.
Right.
Or any redfish. But, I mean, if you're patterning redfish, then that's not so much. Or you got a spot that we get this in the springtime a lot, certain passes and stuff that the snook are in, you can chum them out of the mangroves. But if you're just fishing a wall, I'd rather have it on a medium to low tide
100%.
Than a high tide, because you can't get them out of there. So this morning when I was rolling out, and it's, you know, every sandbar between my dock and the mouth of the river there is way up out of the water, I'm sitting here going, this is great.
Yeah.
I love this.
And that's how I feel. I mean, I've always talked about, I love fishing negative low tides. I love fishing that lower water, and I like fishing that transition period like you talked about, where it's either going out, you're halfway through or halfway in,
right,
and those fish are on the move. And what you can do is you can intercept them. So if you know some fish are going to be moving to an area, you know where they're going to go, it's really nice to be in the middle.
Right.
And you can say, okay, well, these fish are going to come through, and we can stop them, and we can catch a bunch of them.
Yes.
And that's kind of how our snook fishing has been in some of these areas that I've been fishing, mm-hmm, because you know these fish want to get to the trees. They want,
right,
to get in the bushes, but they can't.
Right.
So you know where they're at in the bowls, they're in these
ponds. Exactly.
And if you have enough water to position your boat up in that transition area, which would be the flat between the pond and the trees, then at some point, you're going to get a hold of those fish if you're...
And especially if you've got chum to throw at them, you can keep them.
Exactly.
They won't just go by you. You can keep them.
Because in that transition period, that's what they're looking to do is feed most of the time. They're feeding on that in that mode where they're moving through that flat, the bait's moving in, there's things getting stirred around. Once they hunker down in the bushes or in the ponds, it's a little different. Now, I'm not saying the fishing's not as good. It's just a different...
It's hard to get to them sometimes.
It's hard to get to them, and sometimes it's hard to stay on them because they're going to want to move, you know, back and forth or whatever.
You know what the best thing about fishing like a really, really high tide is? This is the best thing about it. You never got to worry about getting stuck.
Yeah. Or an incoming tide. I'm a big fan of getting there on that low water.
Oh, yeah.
Sticking it and going, listen, guys, trust me. When things go down, they're going to come
right here.
And we've done that quite a bit this week in some certain areas where I know they're popular spots. And we've fished up to the transition period or right to that transition area, fished, and then moved up again and got in front, kept hopscotching in front of the fish. And that's what you can do on these lower tides. And not to mention the clear water. You know, we've talked about it before, and I don't want to get into the whole tower conversation, but having a tower in my boat or being able to get up high, especially this time of year, shallow water, clear water, I mean, I can tell you right now what the fish are doing. You can see them plain as day, especially snook. Mm-hmm. The snook aren't as, you know, skittish, per se, as redfish, but, you know, you'll see a school of snook. Now, you come up there, and they'll spook out, but they'll come right
back.
So that's an interesting little tip there. If you do see some snook and you come into an area, chances are if you wait it out and you sit there for a little while, those fish are going to come right back to where you're at. So
there's a spot that I've been fishing here lately that gets a lot of boat traffic. And it's one of those spots where we have to reel the lines in and let the boats go by. And it wasn't today and it wasn't Saturday. I think it was Thursday or Friday when I fished. Every time a boat would come by, I would tell them, throw in the boat wake.
Yeah.
Throw in the prop wash. And every time...
Are you wahoo fishing?
Every time that they would throw and hit the wash, they would catch a snook. Every time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we must have caught seven like that. There was times where they didn't make it or they threw past it, but when they threw in that prop wash, they caught a fish every time.
It was game over.
And those snook, I was chumming and they were eating, and the boat would come by and they would stir things up, and man, you'd put a line in there, bam.
Well, I tell you, you know, we talked a little bit on the first segment about some of the trout fishing that we both did today, and that was one of the keys with the trout. We kind of did a little testing, and because the one guy in the back of the boat started catching them, and then I kind of moved everybody to that side of the boat and started fishing the channel. And I was chumming hard. We was at the end of the day, so I'm just unloading the live well, and we're starting to catch trout. Well, I stopped for about 5 minutes. And let me tell you what, buddy, the trout stopped. And that's what we were doing is it was a very, very strong current coming on that incoming tide this afternoon. And I would literally throw like a slug of bait way up current, let it come through, and I'd say, all right, guys, wait a minute. That slug of bait would go through, and I'd say, okay, now cast. And so that slug of, you know, chum would go through, and then some singles would come by, and they'd all get hammered as soon as that fresh bait came through. You know, it's kind of the same situation going on there. And that's what you get when you're fishing tidal areas, when you're fishing pinch points, when you're fishing fish that school up and look at areas to go ambush as a group. And that's what happens. And I was telling them, you know, you got to get these fish excited. They have to compete. And that's part of that chum is one eats, two eats. Next thing you know, that guy doesn't want that one to eat it, so he's going to eat it first.
Yeah.
So when that solo comes down through there, it's a, you know, battle to get it. And that's essentially what you create when you start chumming this, particularly in deeper channel areas where you've got.
And that's where I was. I was in a good, I don't know, 6 foot of water today, casting up on an edge and letting it go right down the edge.
Right.
And that, I mean, for the trout, and that's what worked for us today. But yeah, it was nice to see. It was nice to see the.
It was really nice to see the trout, and like you said, man, the trout were really pretty. They were beautiful fish. They were healthy, fat fish. Didn't look like they'd been caught before. Didn't have any sores on them. You know, we didn't keep any, so I didn't get to fillet any to check, you know, bellies or anything like that. But The fish I caught today, I can tell you, were very healthy fish. I think that they're on the move to where they need to be.
That's what I think, because where I caught mine, and I'll tell you later, you'll agree with that. And of the six trout that I cleaned today, I only had one worm.
That's awesome, so, especially for trout fishing.
Yeah, Saturday we only kept two trout, and there was probably three worms in each one. So, you know, obviously in the wintertime you don't get as many, but as many worms in your trout, but there definitely was some good clean fish today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of the fish, you know, really, I've been fishing some off the chart kind of spots the last few days just because of the boat traffic, and even the snook I caught, some of the smaller snook, even, you know, we caught a handful of lower slot redfish that were released, and all the fish that I've been catching have been really pretty fish. They've been really healthy looking fish, which says a lot, because there's times, particularly in the spring, when you're catching fish and they just look so beat up
because they've been getting caught every day.
They've been getting hammered, and it's nice to see. And the area that I fish today is a wintertime spot that I fish. And so it tells me that these fish are trying to push in there. Yeah. And January is going to mark some cold weather, I think. That's my prediction. I hope we get some cold
weather. I hate cold weather, but it is good for us.
It's good for our fishery. It's good for the fish that need that to do what they're going to do, you know?
Well, I think when you have a cold winter, you have a better spring as far as fishing goes.
I agree.
Because the fish come out in the spring.
Well, and it kills some of the stuff that grows through in the water throughout the year.
Sure.
It can't survive some of the bacteria and some of the, just, I don't even know, I ain't no science guy, but the stuff that grows in the water, why does the water get clear? It's because it gets cold. It drops it down, you know? And so it's all good, and it happens for a reason, and we just have to embrace it and figure out how to get around it and fish in the cold weather, and there's plenty of options to do it. So we're going to have some good stuff coming up, I assume, in the first couple shows of the year, about doing some cold water fishing. We'll probably bring in a sheep's head and some, hopefully do a good trout show and talk about what we've been doing to get them.
And if, you know, I'm gonna kind of segue this, what you just said, on the 21st of January when we have the fishing school, a lot of that kind of stuff can be talked about because we're going to be right in the middle of that.
Right smack in the middle
right
of it.
Because I promise you, January 21st is going to be colder than it is now.
Right. Right.
Unless this year's different than any other year ever in the history of Tampa Bay. So.
Right. No, I'm totally with you on that, and I believe that. I'm going to pop up the flyer here, guys. Again, that's January 21st. If you're interested in our fishing school, for you guys watching us on Facebook or YouTube, it's $30 to enter, or $30 for a seat. We got some awesome sponsors involved. We got Unfair Lures, Mirror Lures, Z-Man, Rapala, Gills, Daiwa, Ohiro, Cactus Juice, Procure. I mean, the big dogs have stepped up to do this, so go ahead and get signed up for that. But in the meantime, guys, we're going to take a little break, hear a few words from the sponsors, and we'll be right back with the Come On Man. You listen to Tampa Fish and Outfitters Radio Show on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We'll be right back.
Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award, presented by Nationwide, recognizes NFL players who have made a significant impact on both the game and in their communities, and is considered one of the league's most prestigious honors. Each NFL team nominates one player for the award, and three finalists will be announced on January 22nd, with the winner being announced at the NFL Honors Award Show on February 4th. To learn about the 32 players nominated for this year's award, visit NFL.com/Man of the Year.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have: durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
The Come On Man segment brought to you by Alify Marine, located at 6128 Lewis Ave in Gibsonton, Florida. You can reach them at 813-671-2628.
And we are back. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. Your host, Captain Travis Yackel. and host Captain Rick Lyles. We're in the studio talking fishing, guys. This is our last show of the year. And before we get into the Come On Man, we just want to give out a couple thank yous, appreciative
gestures.
To Tampa Fishing Outfitters for taking us on board again this year and sponsoring the show. We're always thankful to have those guys on board and support us. And if you haven't been into Tampa Fishing Outfitters, go down there and check it out.
You got to go.
They've got three. I mean, Tampa Fishing Outfitters is probably the primary location for what we talk about and what we do. Yeah. But they also have St. Pete Fishing Outfitters and Tarpon Fishing Outfitters. And they're both great stores. They're mirror images, sort of, or they're similar in flavor to what Tampa Fishing Outfitters has to offer. Great quality products, great people, knowledgeable staff. And so get on down there and tell them you heard about it on the radio, or just go in and browse around and see what's new in the fishing world, because they've got it. But Rick, through the break here, has told me that
I've got the come on man of all come on mans.
That's strong. That's strong.
Be prepared. This is...
Let me take my hat off.
Let me set the stage. Hey, this was so funny. And I could not even have... It was one of those times where I didn't even know what to say. I mean, I was completely speechless. And I looked at these two guys in total bewilderment. I'm coming in the other day. It was sometime in the last 2 weeks, or I would have... This would have been the come on man 2 weeks ago. I'm coming in, and I see these two guys, and they're in one of those Freedom Boat Club boats.
Oh, gosh.
And there's these two guys in there, and I'm easing up close to them, and I says, how'd you guys do today? They said, man, we tore them up. I said, man, that's awesome. Good. How'd y'all do? I said, well, we did okay. It wasn't a bad day. They said, did you catch any trout? I said, we caught a couple. He said, any size to them? I said, no, we got a couple keepers, but they're not real big. Man, we got on the trout today. We got on the trout.
Yeah,
so
baby.
So now I'm like, you know, my trout bite hasn't been great.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, now I'm all ears. Yeah, really. So how'd y'all do? I said, man, I'm telling you, we got after them. He said, you know what? I never knew. And, you know, I can see they have white bait.
Ladyfish.
Did you catch him on the white? He said, yeah, we got him on the white bait. He goes, I'm going to tell you something that I didn't know, though. He says, man, I did not know that trout jumped so much.
Well,
now I'm concerned. I'm like, oh, man, these guys may have snook. So I'm concerned, like,
right.
Because he goes, we're limited out. We got our four trout or our eight trout. We got big trout. And I said, well, because I'm thinking they might be snook. I said, man, you care if I take a look at those trout? But dude, he couldn't get that cooler lid
open fast enough.
He said, we got two over 20, and we got the other six are right up there close to it. And man, I looked over the side of that cooler, and he had the eight most beautiful ladyfish
I knew it.
You'd ever seen packed in ice.
Oh.
What do you say? I didn't know what to say. I did not know what.
You go.
I said, man, those are some nice fish.
You go.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Had them look like cigarettes in the cigarette box stuck in that cooler. Just nice and neat.
It's bad enough, and I hope my in-laws aren't watching, but it's bad enough to eat a ladyfish. But to think that you've got trout, that's a double whammy.
Identify your fish. Well, evidently, these guys...
They knew the limit. I wonder where they looked up the limit.
They knew the limit. They knew the size. You know, we got two over 20.
Nah, baby. We measured them.
Didn't know trout
jumped.
Didn't know trout jumped. And when he said that's what I'm thinking, oh, man, they got snook. They got some snook. Because snook bite's been so good.
Big trout jump.
We did actually have one jump today, but you don't see it much. But I tell you what, that was unbelievable.
That's a pretty good one, Rick. I ain't gonna lie.
That's my best come on man that I've ever had. That was, I looked in that cooler, and I mean to tell you, I did not know what to say. I was completely speechless.
That's
what do you
funny.
Tell the guys? Hey, you knuckleheads, those are ladyfish. What do you say?
You
beanbags? Throw them back. They're trash. You know, so I was like, man, those are some pretty fish.
Those are beautiful.
Beautiful
hey,
fish
listen,
right
man,
there.
Don't tell nobody where you got those, okay? You say, hey, let's keep this between me and you.
This is all between us. Yeah, so anyway, that's what I got. And I maybe I find that more interesting or funny or whatever, but if you see some bandits in the Freedom Boat Club, let them be. They're going to be on the Ladyfish.
Or if you need some cut bait.
If you need some cut bait, there you go. Can we cut some of those trout and use them?
Gosh. I tell you what, though. Ladyfish, there can be a pain, but at the end of the day, they're pulling strings. When you get those clients, we would consider them a trash fish, okay?
Absolutely.
As far as food quality, as far as table fare.
But
on them days when it's tough, particularly coming up in January and February.
It ain't even got to be a tough day for some people.
You know, those things can be breadwinners.
That trip we ran out of Pirates Point, where we ran four boats, and we ran over there and was trying to catch.
Yeah.
And remember, we kept catching the ladyfish.
Ladyfish and bluefish.
At the end of the day, we left over there after about 2 hours, come back to the river and fished a couple hours in the river, picking away at snook. At the end of the day, we're pulling up to the dock.
They didn't give two snots about them.
That one dude on my boat, he said, look, he said, I would have been just as happy, because I was kind of apologizing. We didn't catch no
right.
snook. I said, man, I'm sorry we didn't catch a decent snook, you know. And he goes, man, I'm going to tell you right now, I would have been just as happy staying right over there where we were at catching those ladyfish than anything else we caught today. I had more fun with, and those were kind of some big ladyfish too, but he goes, I had more fun catching those. And, you know, I get it. Those guys were from Seattle.
Yeah.
And you know something else? Get kids on the boat. Bam.
Awesome.
Bam. Put
awesome.
The kids on ladyfish. It does two things. It keeps them busy,
entertained.
But it also teaches them how to fish.
Exactly.
It teaches them. You can learn some good skills in catching ladyfish.
100%.
That will help, you know, for a 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, that will help them when they're teenagers wanting to fish and catch like real fish.
And if you keep a couple and fillet them, they won't ever eat fish again in their life. They will catch and release everything they catch.
Which helps the fishery.
Which helps the fishery. So what we're saying is,
we're promoting everybody get them a good skillet full of ladyfish,
man. Ladyfish. Now, you know, and I don't know where this is. I don't know where this is going with ladyfish, but there's a handful of people out there that eat them. And you know, one of the ways they do it is they'll poach the meat. And what they'll do is they'll take a spoon or some device and they'll scrape the meat off the fish and make fish patties or fish balls. I've tried it.
This sounds like the voice of experience talking here.
Well, you know, hey.
You had the hand signal to make little patties.
Little balls.
This
is how you do it if you're watching. But no, it's a real thing, guys. It's a real thing, okay? And it happens.
Instinct Fishing Co. There you go.
And people enjoy it. Hey, you want it, I catch it, baby. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Oh, gosh. Well, that's a good one, Rick. I mean, really, I had a few, and I was...
I mean, what were you at fault, though, when he says, man, I didn't realize that. I never thought of ladyfish. I'm like, who's catching ladyfish? Or, you know, wanting to give... I never knew they jumped so much. Man, my mind immediately said, oh, these guys are on snook. These guys got a cooler full of snook. I said, you don't care if I take a look at them trout, do you? He said, no.
Would you have played Deputy Rick?
No. If they'd have been snook, I'd have told them. That's when I would have tried to educate them. I didn't want to educate them when they were thinking they were trout because I didn't want them to feel stupid.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't have cared if they felt stupid if they were snook in there. But, I'd have told him, hey, man, that's a snook. But you can't do that.
Whatever FWC site you looked at to find your limits and size bag limits.
Oh, man.
You look at pictures. Did you?
Look at,
you got glasses? Speaking of which, if you need a pair of glasses, Optical Outfitters in Apollo Beach, we take care of it.
That's right.
You need some help with that. Oh, guys, it's been good.
Did you ever come on, man? Or did I just completely just overshadow my coming?
I've been rattled since the show started.
It's hard to follow that one.
Follow that one. I had a guy today, and I believe I know who the guy, the other boater that was, you know, properly positioned away from me to fish a certain area, which I think is Todd Fouché's buddy. I think it was Todd Fouché's boat. And another guy that fishes, and I think his name's Chad or something like that, if I remember through Facebook and stuff. But he was fishing on the other side of me, and we were fishing in an area. He was there first, and I kind of came wide around him and got up in front of him. And it was in a transition place.
Right.
I got up real shallow and got the boat stuck up in there, started chumming, and we had a Ginu that floated between us and him, or between us, and literally my guys were casting and hitting his Ginu. and just throw my hands up and just, hey, man.
They're shooting at us.
Hope you catch a few fish. But that's not, I don't have an exciting
game. Yeah, well, that was great. Yeah, but, you know, when you got to hope or at least think that people know that, you know, if I'm on a drift close enough that they're hitting me with their baits.
Dude, I mean, it was, I had pictures, and I was trying, if I would have had some time to do the radio show and set the radio show, we're planning on putting pictures up and doing some stuff through the show, and that's coming up in 2017, but I would have loved to have those pictures up there because it really would have put some validity to what I'm saying, but...
And you said he was throwing a musky bait.
He was throwing like a musky or a... I don't know what it was, dude. A sturgeon bait or something. I don't know. It was this giant plug. I mean...
Well, like, spinners don't go then.
Giant, man. I mean, and I'm like, dude, what do you...
Did it have a humpback with spinners on both ends?
He was in like a foot of water, dude. I mean, the plug, I think, was...
Chartreuse with orange stripes.
Yeah, that gets him. Tiger musky, baby. Tiger bait. Oh, man. But, anyway, yeah, I don't even know where to go from there, Rick, with the ladyfish,
yeah,
man. That's a showstopper right there.
Drop the mic and go.
You drop the mic on that one, brother. But anyway, guys, like I said, it's been a great show. We're gonna get to our last segment here, which is the Captain's Tip of the Week. And before that, we want to, again, thank our sponsors, Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. We also want to thank a new sponsor that we brought on. That's JMI Flooring. They're out of Bartow. They're sponsoring our video feed for 2017, and we certainly appreciate them. We're grateful to have them on board. They've helped us out a lot, getting us put forward and trying to be technical with all this. So we're looking forward to that. But we're going to take a little break, guys. You're listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We'll be right back. You don't know.
People who have rooms of people that they love one day, stocks away. Just because we check the guns at the door doesn't mean our brains will change from hand grenades. You love another psychopath sitting next to you. You love another murderer sitting next to you. You think I'm gonna get this sitting next to you.
The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Marketers have a big task ahead of them. With so many advertisements during the consumer's daily routine, how do you stand out? United Cities Productions has a strategy that will increase your SEO, increase your Google ranking, and build your brand where it will stand out. Go to UnitedCitiesProductions.com and check out what many innovative companies are implementing. It's time to use all the resources of content production and marketing for winning. Beat your competitors. Contact a business strategist today at UnitedCitiesProductions.com.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface course with a noise-attracting click. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Smarter Sports, Better Sports, Total Sports, Sports Talk 1040, The Team.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
And we are back, last segment of the show. And me and Rick are just still kicking over this ladyfish thing. It's the Captain's Tip of the Week. But I was talking to Rick, you know, our last segment we were talking about the whole ladyfish thing. And I asked Rick if he asked me if they caught any ladyfish.
Yeah, we caught some of them. The ones with the two teeth in the front and have all the dots on them.
Yeah, those were bigger than those. When they broke us off. We had to let them go. But it's the Captain's Tip of the Week.
Do you got one?
I've got one. And here's my tip of the week. Get out and do some fishing. And we're going to have this cold weather coming up. The water temperature, my tip of the week is everybody's going to be afraid for this next couple days when it's getting cold. And if you're listening to the radio show right now, it's Sunday, and it's already probably cold. But the water temperature takes a while to come back down.
Right.
You need some lengthy cold weather to actually bring that water temperature down. And with the stint of warm weather that we've had through Christmas, it's going to take not this first cold front, but it's going to take 4, 5, 6 days of consistent cold.
But it comes down faster than it goes up.
It does come down faster than it goes up. But I think, too, it's going to help. And I don't think it's, me personally, I don't think it's going to affect the fishing. And so, not as bad as we think it is, because we've been waiting on this. I think the fish are waiting on some colder weather. I mean, we were looking at fish today. I was in the tower looking at snook, and they just didn't want to move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was hot, man.
Mm-hmm.
At 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock this afternoon, it was blistering hot. I mean, you can see on my face, I am sunburned. It's December 28th right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so my tip of the week is don't be afraid to get out and do some fishing. It's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. If you can't get bait, go get some shrimp. Shrimp's going to start to play here real soon. And if you can't get some shrimp, or if you can get some fiddlers, get some fiddlers. That's another one that I recommend.
Fiddlers.
Fiddler, baby.
Well, you know, there's one thing, and I totally get it. When somebody books a trip with us and they go fishing, they want to catch as many fish as they can. They want the weather to be perfect, the wind to be perfect, the tide to be perfect. They want everything to be right. But as a fisherman that fish on my own and grew up fishing, and same as you, and I think a lot of captains will probably fall into this, a lot of times we see an inclement weather day or a tide that's you know, far from perfect, or you know, any kind of little weather phenomenon that's puts a challenge out there.
Right.
And we look at that as a challenge. I actually, it's almost, I'm a big golfer, play a lot of golf. I love playing in the wind. I love playing in overcast days.
You ought to see him in the front yard. He dances.
I dance. I got this little thing that's got a ribbon on it. You know, look at a day like that, because I would think probably most people listening to this fish when they can.
Right.
You got a day you can go fishing. So I'll use one of Travis's terms, embrace it. You know, go out there and look at it as, you know what, yeah, we're not going to catch 40 fish today.
Right.
And don't be upset if you don't, because you know what? You've got guys that have got their TV shows and won tournaments and done all that stuff. They're not going to catch 40 fish.
Right.
They're not going to catch 20 fish. Go out there and just do the best you can. And if you just try to conquer the fish. And if you catch a half a dozen fish, that may be a great day.
Sure.
With the conditions that you have. Sometimes a half a dozen fish is a fantastic day of fishing. And that's I think people overlook that.
Well, and here's the deal, I probably should extend my captain's tip of the week and probably follow up with a little bit more information on it. And you know, go fishing is one thing, but it's gonna make you a better fisherman. It's gonna make you a better fisherman by going out and finding and catching fish on a day that's challenging. In the springtime, when you can go on any mangrove shoreline across Tampa
Bay, what have you accomplished?
And throw a bat full of chum out and catch 10, 15 snook in just about any spot, that's not a challenge. A challenge is you reeling it into the boat. But there's a whole, you know, process of finding an area, you know, figuring out where those fish are going to be in that area, figuring out how to catch those fish, how to stage up on them.
And
that's going to help you on those days. When you are successful on a tough day of fishing, you make yourself a better fisherman.
Right.
Period.
And that's, I mean, that's fine for all of us that live here and fish here and all that. It's, you know, I get it when somebody comes into town, you know, they fly in from Boston and they're on a business for here for a couple of days and they decide that they're going to go fishing one afternoon. I get it. You, that's not the guy. I mean,
right.
you never want anybody to have a tough fishing day, but though it's more important that those guys go out and just hammer the fish. It's to me, this is just my opinion in my mind, and I'm only speaking for myself. Guys that get to do it all the time, if you have that day where you don't catch as many fish, and you could still have had a great day and not caught as many fish because of the conditions around it, that's more rewarding. Now, I mean, trust me, a guy coming in here from Boston or from wherever, and he gets on the boat and he's having, and the conditions aren't good, and he goes out and catches five or six fish,
mm-hmm.
that's not a good day for him.
Yeah.
That's he don't know, or they don't, he, she, whatever, they don't know. But us that are here all the time, we fish Tampa Bay year round, we know
what to
expect. We're
going to
have those 60, 70 snook days. But we also know that you may have a better, quote, fishing day and catch eight fish. You may have made better decisions on an eight fish day than you made on a 70 fish day. And had to you accomplish more with that
sure.
than you did on one of those other days just because of the conditions you were fighting. My point is, use your word, embrace that and take that with you as for the next trip. And like you say, it'll make you a better fisherman. But don't beat yourself up. I mean, I got friends that fish. We went out and we did. You know, we caught didn't catch hardly nothing. We did this. I'm like, dude, I fished that day too. You know what I caught? Thought about what you did.
Yeah.
You know, well, you maybe caught a few more fish, but it wasn't a great day.
And it can take one decision that you make that you put yourself in that one spot that you haven't tried for. Like today, I found trout, and I was not planning on going to catch trout in this area. I said, you know what? I said, these trout haven't been around. I said, I'm going to go somewhere where there's a lot of current. I just
right.
want to see what's sitting in here.
Right.
And I mean, trust me, if you saw where I was fishing, you go, man, he ain't fishing there. I said, yeah, I'm whacking trout here, and it's one of those places. Well, they're not where they should be, where
right.
everybody else is trying to find them, so they've got to be somewhere else.
Right.
Now, granted, I went and ran my charter for the most part, and I said, okay, guys, are you pretty well satisfied with how the day's been?
Now let's experiment.
Let's go play a little bit,
yeah.
And sure enough, look what I found. You know, I found a nice little trout spot. Now, will they be there tomorrow? I don't know. Are they going to be there Friday? I don't know. But I tell you what, I will look, and if I don't find them, I'll go somewhere else.
But you know, next
going.
Year, if we're having these same weather conditions,
I got
bam,
it right here.
Throw that in the
that's
computer.
Another spot to go check out. And
yeah.
So you're building a database. You're building a resource database every time you go out and you're challenged. If it's easy, everybody
could do it. That's
you
right.
know, and as guides and as, like you said, we fish year-round, it's we have to do it. There's no exception
right.
to it. You will not be a successful fishing guide if you can't consistently go out and either, you know, attempt or, you know, put people on fish consistently
right.
and use what you know, it's gonna be seen. You know, if you don't know what you're doing and you got a bad attitude about it and you make up 10,000 excuses of why you're not catching fish, you're not going to succeed.
You ain't going to be in the business long.
You know, you've got to go do what you got to do and do the best that you can do, and that's either that's here nor there, whether you're a guide or whether you're a recreational angler. If you want to be a successful fisherman, you've got to be able to go out and fish no matter what the conditions are.
Right.
Whether you catch your trophy fish or not. I'll tell you this. My biggest snook that I've ever caught, I caught two fish that day, and I was out by myself. I caught two fish that day. I caught a nice redfish. I remember it specifically. I caught a nice redfish, and I caught a 42-inch snook. It was like 25, 26 pounds.
You didn't picture
and
this?
I do.
You do?
I was on the cover of Woods and Water in 2012. But, not saying anything, but it's just a very memorable experience because it was February 28th. I know what it was. It was a cold day.
Yeah.
These fish were in the process of moving out of the river, coming onto the flats, and I was actually sight fishing redfish, wading in about, you know, half shin deep mm-hmm. water, and sight fishing redfish, seeing them, and you know, they were being stubborn because it was shallow, but I ended up hanging this snook. And to this day, I still go back to that area in the springtime, and I catch most of the fish are pretty big snook.
Yeah.
Because I found a little area where they just come through in that transition mode. But if I wouldn't have went fishing that day, I probably wouldn't have found that area,
yeah.
or I wouldn't have caught that fish. And so Don't limit yourself. If you're that guy that can get out when you can get out, get out.
And that's what I was kind of getting at. Most people fish when they can, you know. So, man, you're already, if you're fishing when you can, you're already not cherry picking the day. So you're, you know, the odds of you going out and catching as much fish as on a day that somebody can go pick their day and pick their tides, pick their weather, you're probably not going to catch as much as somebody that can cherry pick their day. So anyway, I don't mind fishing bad days, especially if, I mean, obviously when I'm with clients, I'd feel a lot different, but if I'm personally going fishing, I don't even care what the day is like.
Yeah.
If it's a bad day, I look at it as a challenge and we go from there. If it's a good day, actually sometimes if I'm out there fun fishing and I got the good conditions and I don't have a good day, it almost upsets me more at the end of the day. I'm like, you know,
yeah,
it's a downer.
And that's the thing too, is you go on a good day and you struggle, you know, you go, well, man,
yeah,
everybody else caught 60 snook today and I caught 10.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? You know, but that's why we're here, guys. We hope that some of the information that we bring and some of the stories we tell, a lot of it's just, you know, shooting the breeze. But if you filter throughout some of the stuff, we really do try to give you some good information to make yourself a better angler.
Yeah, we're breeze shooters for sure.
And I mean, and you dance in the wind, so
I dance in the wind.
You are definitely a breeze shooter.
I'm a wind dancer. That's what they used to call me, the wind dancer.
The wind dancer, Rick, the wind dancer, coming to you live. But anyway, guys, we just want to close out the show. We got a couple more minutes here, and we're coming to the end of the show. If you're watching the show, you got the last segment coming live before the new year. If you're listening on Sunday, happy new year to you. We welcome 2017. It's
going to
be a great year.
Hopefully we'll have a good year for you.
And we've got a lot of big things planned for Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. If you haven't signed up yet, real quick, I'll flash it. Sign up for our school. It's coming up January 27th. Or 21st, and it's $30. Get signed up and learn some fishing. Guys, it's been a good one. We're going to get on out of here. You've been listening to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show on Sports Talk 1040 The Team. We'll see you again.
Out.